be reading from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
This letter that Paul writes to the Galatians is not a letter to one church, but to a whole region of congregations. Region that Paul knows very well. And this is one of the first writings that we have of Paul. And it is also one of the harshest that he's ever written from the very beginning. In 2016, only 32% of people between the ages of 18 and 49 got their news from watching television. Well, that same group, 49.5%, got their news online. Social media is credited for changing the way Americans view the news. The way they view politics, the way they promote causes. But the reality is, and nobody can deny it, that there are many twisted truths on social media. That there is also a lot of slanted truths on the TV news channels, regardless of what you watch. There is enough truth in many of these stories to make them believable and to sway us. Oftentimes we will jump on the bandwagon and get our friends on social media to also join our cause. But why are we so quick to believe a story on social media? Is it because a friend that we trust reposted it? Is it because I trust you and I should trust the story that you posted? But you know, sometimes the child that just wants a Christmas card for Christmas is not all that it's promoted to be. The letter here that Paul writes to the Galatians was written to a region that is somewhat undefined. But for the most part, it is in the northeast portion of the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul traveled through this area on his first missionary journey. Many of us know and realize that Paul was born in Tarsus, which is in this region, not very far away. So when he writes this letter to the churches, these are more than likely churches that he personally helped establish. In the first two verses of Galatians chapter 1, Paul starts his letter with these words, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me under the churches of Galatia. Can you feel the tone that this letter is going? While Paul will defend himself, what Paul's defending more mostly than himself is defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a message that Paul doesn't hold dear. It is a message in which he is convinced is the only way to have eternal life. Everything else is fake news. For Paul, there is just one true gospel. And he summarizes it in verses 3-5. It is here that we find the simplest presentation of the gospel. It is that Jesus delivered us from our sins, that he was raised from the dead, and in that raising from the dead, he conquered the consequences of sin. What the gospel does is deliver us from the evil of this world and places us in the hands of God the Father. In this letter and in this region, we are not dealing with Christians who struggle for knowledge. We are dealing with churches who deserted the truth and grabbed hold of something else. Paul, to say it mildly, was beside himself that people would go down this road. A road that did not offer them more grace. It didn't offer them more joy or more freedom, but it only offered them a false sense of religion. Let's revisit verses 6 and 7 that was read. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul's not angry with these people because there's a difference of opinion. He is absolutely convinced that there is only one true gospel message, and that everything else that teaches how to be saved is false. There is no opinion about this in Paul's mind. Such a fact that Paul is amazed that these people, whom he personally taught, would now basically call the message that Paul brought a lie. To Paul, this is beyond comprehension. He's astonished. He's amazed that they would desert the grace of Christ. And for what? You know, one thing that we can gather when we read the letters from Paul is that he can be both slamming your fingers in the door and opening the door and kissing those fingers, while he can cut to the quick, he can also appeal to the heart. Paul's point here is very harsh, but it's very clear. His desire is not to tear the people apart, but to get them to understand what they are sacrificing. But also, Paul is trying to help us to understand that we do not mess with the message of Christ. We have no authority. We have no power to change God's message of salvation. We can see in verses 7 through 9 just how strongly Paul believes in this. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now. If any man preaches any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, if we, in this worship service, witness what we believe to be an angel, we would pay close attention to what is being said. But what Paul is not saying here is that angels come from heaven and rewrite the message that Jesus taught and shared with the early churches in Acts chapter 2. Paul's trying to make a point by going to the extreme. When you read a novel, say one of your favorite writers, you're reading along, are you just reading words? Or can you feel the passion? Can you feel the anger or the excitement in those words? If you're reading an action novel and you've got a really good writer and you're sitting there, does it get your heart pumping? Does it get your adrenaline flowing? You can feel the passion that Paul has in these words. Paul is saying that any person who teach a different message of salvation that differs from what has been revealed, let him be accursed. Now that comes from an old Jewish phrase. If you look, when you look at the teachings in the Old Testament and Judaism, a curse on you means that you have been disowned. It means that you have been thrown out of the camp, so to speak, and that you are put under the wrath of God himself. And at this point, this is exactly where Paul is. You mess with the message of God. You don't answer to men. You don't answer to Paul. You don't answer to the preacher. You don't answer to the church. You answer to God. And using the term be accursed is an extremely harsh statement. How do you know the truth? How do you know about what is fake when it comes to religion? How do you know that the message that I preach concerning the salvation of Christ is true and not just my opinion? Paul is pretty adamant here. He says it is not a matter of opinion. In a day and age where we go along to get along, where tolerance is valued higher than truth, this is a difficult statement to accept. How do we know the truth? In many ways, we are more blessed than the Christian in Paul's day. We can sit here between two pieces of leather and open up God's Word. We can read from the very beginning to the very end and know God's truth. In Paul's day, there was a need for prophetic messages, a great need. And because of that great need, there were charlatans who came along to gather gain from those messages. That's not the case here. In the first century, this was a core church problem. It was as much about Jew versus Gentile as it was about Jesus Christ. Today, we see it as denominations against denominations. We see it as the true church against everyone else. What have we done to God's message over the centuries? Man has messed it up because he refused to honor the author, God. In Romans 10, verse 17, Paul says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Peter would tell us that men were carried along by the Holy Spirit when they wrote God's messages down. It wasn't just a story that man invented. In 2 Peter 1 and verses 20 and 21, Peter writes, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Paul writes here that all Scripture is God's very breath of life, and that it is through it that we are to reprove, rebuke, exhort, encourage, and correct. There are opinions about things that we don't have clarity on in the Bible. It may just be one thing or another that has never been fully explored. There are subjects we debate because God did not reveal the only one answer to us in the Scriptures. But the gospel message that grace comes through Jesus Christ, that salvation is only through Him, and that it is open to everyone, not just like you and I, but to all people, that is not opinion, that is fact. Grace is extended to everyone. There isn't a single sinner that God cannot save. Maybe they're not welcome in some churches, but that's not God's message. God loves you. God is calling all to come to Him. The calling is today. God's message, God's invitation, just as it was in the very beginning, the church is come. And it is an invitation that cannot be delayed. We cannot sit there and wait for a more acceptable day or an acceptable time. It's a time that we need to accept in this very moment, a time that is offered to you. You want and are willing to accept the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity this morning to obey that gospel. Repent and confess and to be baptized for your sins, to be added to His church, to begin a life of faithful service to the Lord. We will offer that to you this morning. And if you are a child of God, and if you have been walking down the wrong path and you need to get back on track, and you need the prayers of the congregation to help you to do that, and the encouragement of your brothers and sisters, we want to give you that opportunity also. If there's a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.